There comes a moment in every life where the crowd fades, where the cheering stops, and the noise turns into silence. That's when the real journey begins, not the one others see, but the one that defines who you really are. You're left with nothing but your thoughts, your discipline, and your decisions. There is no audience, no spotlight, just the truth, raw and unfiltered. The Stoics knew this intimately. They weren't chasing applause, comfort, or the ease of companionship. They weren't searching for external validation. They sought something far more valuable, sovereignty over the self. That sovereignty isn't handed out in crowds. It's not born in moments of popularity or social praise. It's forged in solitude, in the fire of reflection, in the silence of responsibility. To walk alone is to strip away all illusions about who you are, about what you need, and confront the truth head on. It means walking into the darkness of uncertainty with only your character to guide you. To rise alone is to refuse the crutches the world offers, excuses, distractions, temporary pleasures, and instead build strength from within. This kind of rising is not flashy, it's not dramatic, it's subtle, consistent and unseen by most, but it's real. To win alone is to understand that the highest reward is not recognition, it is mastery. Mastery of emotion, mastery of attention, mastery of the self. This victory doesn't need a stage, it echoes in the way you live. It manifests in the peace that comes from living by principle instead of impulse. This is not a path for the faint of heart. It demands more than ambition. It demands transformation. It asks you to stand your ground while others waver, to keep going when there's no approval, no praise, no hand to hold. But make no mistake, this is the only path that leads to real freedom. Not the fleeting kind that depends on status or comfort, but the kind that lives deep in your soul and cannot be taken away. The Stoic knew, if you want to be truly unbreakable, you must first walk alone. Let's begin. Chapter 1. Walk alone. The first step to inner clarity. Walking alone isn't a punishment, it's an invitation. A sacred invitation to come back to yourself. When you step away from the world's noise, the conversations, the expectations, the obligations, you begin to hear something far more important. Not the voice shaped by others' opinions, not the echoes of society's standards, but the one buried deep within, the voice of conscience, virtue, reason. It's faint at first, because it has been drowned out for so long. But as the distractions fall away, it grows stronger. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Nowhere can man find a quieter or more untroubled retreat than in his own soul." That's not solitude for escape, but solitude for reflection. Not isolation as a form of bitterness, but detachment as a path to truth. Walking alone is the art of removing distractions so that you can finally meet yourself. And not the version others expect, but the version that has always waited in silence. Too often we're tethered to relationships, habits and environments that dilute our potential. We become dependent on others to tell us who we are. We seek validation instead of alignment. We fear letting go, mistaking loneliness for failure and solitude for exile. But to the Stoic, alone doesn't mean abandoned, it means aligned. It means free. When you walk alone, you stop outsourcing your direction. You stop submitting to the tides of other people's moods and opinions. You stop living to fit someone else's mold. Instead, you begin to reclaim what is yours, your intention, your voice, your integrity. You start moving not because others move, but because your principles command you to. This isn't just metaphorical. It is tangible, grounded, demanding. Walking alone means choosing values even when they isolate you from comfort. It means standing by truth when it's unpopular, inconvenient, or costly. It means confronting your fears, not in the company of cheerleaders, but in the raw presence of your own breath. It means standing in front of a mirror not to admire, but to examine. In that quiet resistance, in those lonely decisions, you begin to develop strength that can't be borrowed or bought. You stop depending on temporary companions. You start becoming something permanent, something formidable, something whole. It's a lonely journey at first, but not an empty one. In solitude, you meet the teachers you'd forgotten, your intuition, your reason, your resilience. These are not fleeting moods, but ancient voices within you that had been drowned by the noise of comparison and the addiction to validation. When you walk alone, they return, not with fanfare, but with clarity. You begin to realize how little you need to be full and how much you gave away chasing things that never really fed your soul. You learn to walk through discomfort without needing to be rescued from it. You stop avoiding the hard conversations you need to have with yourself. You stare into your doubts and say, "Let's talk." That's when the healing begins. You learn to find clarity without external agreement. You understand that peace doesn't require consensus. You become someone who can sit still in a storm because you've built shelter inside. In practical life, this looks like setting boundaries even when it makes you feel misunderstood. It means saying no to the things that once gave you status but robbed you of your peace. It looks like choosing growth over fitting in again and again. It's staying home to study when the crowd goes out to escape. It's waking up early to reflect before the world adds its noise. It means writing when no one reads, practicing when no one watches, praying when no one hears, and still believing that it matters. It also means doing the deeper work. You stop seeking pity and start seeking progress. You learn to ask, "What lesson is this pain trying to teach me?" You begin to see your solitude not as a void, but as a forge. A place where your rough edges are smoothed by discipline and your fears are melted by repetition. You stop trying to be understood and start trying to understand. Solitude isn't about isolation, it's about foundation. It's the deep work beneath the surface that no one sees. It's where values become decisions and decisions become your path. Until you can walk with yourself, you're not ready to walk with anyone else. Until you are enough for your own journey, you will always feel incomplete in the presence of others. True strength is not needing a crowd to move forward. It is becoming someone who walks in purpose, even when the road is silent and the journey is long. Chapter 2. Rise alone. Strength built in silence. To rise alone is to rise without applause. There is no crowd gathered to witness your quiet victories. No one is filming when you choose the hard path. No one is clapping when you refuse to quit after failing in silence. And that is precisely where the Stoic plants their roots, in the darkness, in the discomfort, in the moments the world overlooks. It's in these invisible hours that true strength is born, not in the spotlight, but in the shadows where only your resolve watches. There is something sacred about rising with no one to praise you. It means your motives are clean, your reasons are internal. You're not doing it for approval, status, or validation. You're doing it because something inside you refuses to settle. Something inside you knows that comfort is a prison dressed in silk, and the only way out is through effort so quiet, so disciplined, that even your future self stops in awe to say, "Thank you for not giving up when no one was watching." When Epictetus said, "If you want to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid," he was not encouraging ignorance, he was teaching detachment from appearances. The Stoic path is often misunderstood because it doesn't perform for applause. It doesn't need confirmation to be confident. The Stoic rises even when mocked. The Stoic persists even when ignored. Because rising alone is not about being seen rising, it's about becoming the kind of person who can rise no matter what. You will wake up while the world sleeps, and the world will not care. You will sacrifice what others chase: comfort, ease, distraction, and you will be called extreme. You will study, train, read, reflect, and labor in silence. You will go through seasons of isolation, not because you're broken, but because you are building. You'll walk away from gossip, decline invitations, let go of habits, and sever ties with your past self, all without fanfare. And slowly, steadily, you'll become a fortress of focus. True consistency begins where praise ends. The Stoic rises not because of what others will say, but in spite of what others might say. They embrace discipline when it's invisible. They chase excellence when it has no audience. The gym with no mirrors becomes a monastery. The journal no one reads becomes scripture. The routine no one understands becomes the source of self-respect. This is the forge, not of results, but of resolve. You begin to embrace monotony, not as a burden, but as a ritual. You realize that greatness is not found in intensity, but in consistency. The way you carry yourself in obscurity will echo in how you stand in the light. The hours you put in, unnoticed and uncelebrated, become the foundation for your unshakable mind. Every ignored sacrifice is a brick. Every silent decision is mortar. Every day you show up when no one is watching, you build something no one can take. Inner stability. The Stoic does not wait for the perfect moment. They do not require motivation to act. To rise alone is to stop waiting altogether. Waiting for clarity, waiting for approval, waiting for life to feel easy. You move not because you're certain of success, but because you're certain of the principle. That is what sets you apart. Most will wait for the right weather before beginning their journey. The Stoic walks in the rain. And when setbacks come, and they will, you do not panic, you do not spiral, you do not curse the world. Because you have been here before, you trained for this moment in silence, you rehearsed adversity in your discipline, you bled in private so you could stand in public. The world sees the result and calls it strength. But you know it wasn't born in victory, it was born in unseen moments of doubt, met with relentless action. This type of rising is lonely, yes, but it is never aimless. It has no parade, no trophies, no applause, but it has direction. And direction is everything. You are not rising to impress, you are rising to align. Align with your values, align with virtue. Align with the deeper call of who you were meant to be. The Stoic asks not, will this be admired, but is this just? Is this worthy? Is this true? And in daily life, this principle transforms the mundane into the meaningful. You stop seeing your early alarms as burdens, they become declarations of intent. You stop craving praise for your diet, your discipline, your learning, because the act itself becomes enough. You understand that the reward is not in being admired for your commitment, but in being transformed by it. You don't need recognition, you need momentum. And once you taste the freedom of rising without needing anyone to notice, you'll never go back. There is power in that kind of solitude, power in that kind of independence. You stop depending on others for your motivation. You stop outsourcing your ambition. Your mission becomes personal, quiet, powerful. This is not perfection. This is not performance. This is the long, slow burn of purpose, a fire that no storm can extinguish, because it wasn't lit by the world. It was lit by you, and it will carry you through every season of silence, every night of doubt, every hill of resistance, because once you rise for yourself, you never need permission to rise again. And so, day by day, brick by brick, you build a self that does not collapse when life withdraws its comforts. You become your own support system, your own reminder, your own reason. You stop being fueled by what is fleeting, likes, followers, applause, and start being sustained by what is eternal, virtue, purpose, alignment. The Stoic knows that applause is as fleeting as a breeze, but discipline is a mountain that does not move. When you rise alone, you're not chasing the wind. You're planting yourself like a tree whose roots go deeper than the storms are strong. You rise through rejection, through being underestimated, through long hours with no feedback. And you learn to smile at the silence because you understand something others don't. That the silence is where the soul speaks. The silence is where the old self dies and the strong self is born. The Stoic does not run from this silence, they seek it. They know it is in solitude that falsehoods are stripped away, leaving only what is real. There is a strange kind of peace that finds you when you no longer need to be seen. When you don't need to be invited, praised or celebrated to do your best. When you can sit in a room alone and still feel whole. When your joy comes not from being noticed, but from doing the work you were meant to do. That's the essence of rising alone. You are no longer dependent on visibility to feel valuable. You become dangerous, not because you are aggressive, but because you are self-sufficient. Because you no longer beg for energy, you generate it. Because you no longer rely on the world to lift you up, you lift yourself. You become dangerous to your former excuses, to your former addictions, to the weaker version of you that once needed validation to function. The man or woman who can rise alone becomes unstoppable, not because they are louder, but because they are rooted. People will ask how you stayed so consistent, how you remained so composed, how you achieved so much without needing the spotlight. And you'll have no dramatic story, no headline moment, no viral explanation. You'll simply say, I stayed in the fight when no one knew I was fighting. That's the secret. That's the advantage of the Stoic path. Quiet suffering becomes quiet strength. Quiet action becomes quiet power. Let your life speak in the way you carry yourself. Let your energy declare what your words don't. Let your habits be louder than your hashtags. Let your presence reflect the weight of your inner work. Let them underestimate you and use it as fuel. Let them forget you and become unforgettable. Because when you rise alone, you don't just rise, you evolve. And when the day comes where the spotlight finds you, you won't need it. You'll be the same in silence as you are in celebration. That is the final transformation. You rise not to be seen, you rise to be whole. Let them talk, let them rest, let them wait. You rise. Chapter 3. Win alone, victory without validation. To win alone is to understand that the ultimate prize is peace of mind, not praise. The Stoics never asked, what will they think? They asked, what is right? Because true victory isn't about triumph over others. It's about triumph over the self, over weakness, over impulse, over fear. Seneca once wrote, it is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more, that is poor. Winning alone means having enough within yourself. When you win alone, there's no need to shout it. There's no need to post it, prove it, or parade it. You don't need applause, validation, or likes. You've already proven it to the one who matters most, you. You've stayed disciplined when no one cared. You've chosen virtue over ease, substance over style. You've walked through doubt, through delay, through disappointment, and you didn't break. You bent, you flexed, you endured, and that quiet resilience became your crown. The Stoics understood that victory is not measured by noise, it is measured by peace. The one who can look in the mirror and say, I kept going when I could have quit, has won more than the one who simply finishes first. This kind of winning can't be bought, it can't be gifted. It's not handed to you through praise or position. It's won quietly, step by step, decision by decision, through self-denial. Through inner alignment, through repeated, relentless return to what is right. In the Stoic worldview, the wise person is victorious not when others fall behind, but when they rise above themselves. To win alone is to win without comparison, without needing to be better than anyone, just better than your former self. It is to conquer your impulses, your anxieties, your excuses. It is to stare temptation in the face and walk the other way. It is to sit with failure without flinching, and to meet success without swelling. In your own life, winning alone might mean staying sober when everyone else is celebrating recklessly, not because you're trying to be different, but because you're trying to be free. Freedom isn't loud, it's quiet. It's not in the noise of rebellion, but in the peace of self-control. It might mean walking away from toxic praise, the kind that feeds ego but rots the soul. It might mean choosing the harder path, one paved not with cheers, but with conscience. It might mean hitting your goals in silence and moving on to the next challenge without pause or celebration, because your mission doesn't need applause, it needs progress. Because when your reward is internal, nothing external can distract you, not flattery, not criticism, not even success. Winning alone also means your victory does not come at the expense of your integrity. You don't climb by stepping on others. You rise by stepping through your fear. You resist shortcuts because you understand that unearned victories are hollow. You understand that speed without substance is a trap. You resist the need to explain yourself because your life already does. Your actions speak louder than any defense. You resist the need to impress because alignment with your values is more satisfying than applause. You know that real confidence is silent and real fulfillment is invisible. You are not winning to be seen, you are winning to be whole. Let the world wonder how you did it. Let them question your silence, your calm, your discipline. Let them misinterpret your distance as arrogance, not knowing its devotion. Let them think you've drifted when really you've ascended. The farther you climb, the quieter it gets. Not because you're detached, but because you've refined your focus. You've chosen presence over praise, process over performance. You owe no one a performance. You owe only yourself the truth. You are not here to entertain. You are here to evolve. You've understood that the mirror is your audience. Your soul is your scoreboard. You don't measure progress by approval, but by alignment, by how closely your life reflects what you say you value. And if, when the day is done, you can sleep at night knowing you lived it, walked it, stayed with it, then you've won. You've conquered the most difficult enemy of all, your own indifference, your own comfort, your own doubt. Not because the world says so, but because your soul does. That's the victory that lasts. That's the prize that no one can steal. That's the kind of triumph that echoes even in silence. Chapter 4. The Stoic's Solitude. Not escape, but elevation. Solitude, to the Stoic, was never about running away. It was about rising above. It was about stepping back so you could step forward with greater force. Seneca withdrew to write not because he hated the world, but because he wanted to sharpen his mind before re-entering it. Marcus Aurelius wrote his meditations not for publication, but for purification. To the untrained mind, solitude is terrifying. It reveals the thoughts we've buried beneath busyness. But to the trained mind, it's sacred ground. It's the arena where clarity is won, where noise is silenced, where values are refined. The Stoic understood this. If your peace depends on people or circumstances, then it's not peace, it's dependency. True peace is internal. It's the stillness that remains untouched by the chaos outside. It's not dictated by mood swings, external events, or how others treat you. It's born from clarity, from grounded principles, from the discipline of knowing who you are without needing confirmation. When you rely on people to calm your storms, you remain at the mercy of their weather. That's why solitude is not weakness. It's strength under control. It's not about isolation or avoidance. It's about intentional separation from what distracts you from your deepest self. It's the decision to turn inward when others look outward, to seek wisdom not from popularity, but from principle. It's the power to be still while the world is frantic, to anchor yourself in silence while others are swept away by noise, news, and novelty. Solitude gives you room to breathe, to think, to reconnect with what's true. It's the ability to be centered when others are scattered, to remain intact when distractions threaten to splinter your focus into fragments. It's the practice of standing tall even when no one's clapping, of choosing the hard path with no guarantee of reward, of speaking truth in a room that values echo over authenticity. The Stoic solitude is filled with purpose. It's a space for reflection, for evaluation, for recalibration. Every moment alone becomes a sharpening stone. Every step away from the crowd becomes a step deeper into the self, into integrity, into clarity. In solitude, you are not fleeing the world. You are facing it more honestly. You don't need to live in a cave to embrace this. Solitude isn't exile. It's elevation. It's not about hiding. It's about rising. It's reclaiming your mind before the world programs it with urgency, comparison, and chaos. It could be 10 quiet minutes before your day begins, where you breathe deeply and reset your intentions, not to react, but to create. It could be a walk without your phone, where you reconnect with your thoughts and remember who you are when no one is looking. It could be choosing to process your emotions internally before broadcasting them impulsively, learning to respond instead of react, to pause before you post, to feel without performing. It could be journaling at night, reading the works of great minds, or sitting still long enough to hear the whispers beneath your worries, the wisdom that only emerges when the noise fades. It might look like turning down an invitation because you've promised yourself to your own growth that evening. It might be resisting the urge to explain yourself when misunderstood, trusting that the truth doesn't tremble in silence. In solitude, you discover that your greatest ally is not the one who cheers you on, but the one inside you who won't let you quit. That voice is quiet, persistent, and fierce. It doesn't flatter you, it challenges you. It doesn't soothe you, it strengthens you. That inner voice, forged through stillness and struggle, becomes your compass in a noisy world full of conflicting messages and borrowed values. It doesn't demand attention, but it commands respect. It reminds you who you are, and more importantly, who you must become. It grows stronger the more you consult it, the more you return to silence and ask the hard questions. Am I living in alignment? Am I growing or just performing? Am I rooted in virtue or drifting in validation? With every honest answer, the voice deepens. It leads you not toward comfort, but toward coherence, toward a life where what you believe, what you say, and what you do are all aligned with truth, not trend. It pulls you out of distraction and into presence, out of image and into essence. And once you've heard it clearly, once you've followed it in darkness and been sustained by its direction, the opinions of others grow faint. Their cheers don't inflate you, because your worth was never for sale. Their criticism doesn't undo you, because you've already done the work in solitude. You are no longer directed by the crowd. You are led by your core, a core built not on applause, but on principle, not on noise, but on knowledge, not on agreement, but on self-mastery. And in that sacred clarity, you walk a path few see, but one you will never regret. Chapter 5. Self-sufficiency, the mark of inner freedom. The Stoics prized one thing above all, freedom. But not the modern illusion of freedom, the freedom to do whatever you feel. They meant something higher, something rooted in virtue and reason. Not the freedom of indulgence, but the freedom of discipline. The freedom to do what is right, no matter the cost. Not what is easy, not what is convenient, what is right. And that kind of freedom demands self-sufficiency. It demands that you become whole, grounded, unshakable, regardless of who shows up or stays away, Regardless of whether you're surrounded or left standing alone, self-sufficiency is not stubbornness, it's stability. It's strength that doesn't waver with the crowd. It's the knowledge that you can face any situation because you've trained for it, not physically only, but morally, emotionally, spiritually. Because you've built your character on principles, not personalities. Not on the shifting sands of opinion, but on the granite of values. Epictetus reminded his students that we should look for all help from within. Why? Because anything outside can be taken away. Jobs, relationships, reputation, all of it is fragile. But what you build inside yourself, no one can steal. When you are self-sufficient, your peace doesn't rise and fall with someone else's behavior. You stop being a slave to circumstances. The more you rely on others for your mood, your direction, your purpose, the less control you have over your life. You become reactive. You chase approval like oxygen. But the Stoic refuses to live like that. They understand that external dependence is a silent thief. It steals your sovereignty. That doesn't mean pushing people away. It doesn't mean isolating yourself, rejecting community, or turning cold toward others. What it truly means is that you stop looking for someone to carry your weight. You stop expecting others to fill in your gaps, to complete you, to provide what only self-mastery can. It means standing on your own two feet so that relationships become additions, not necessities, enhancements, not anchors. People no longer define you, they support you. Their presence adds joy, not stability. Their absence does not unravel your foundation. You don't need someone to tell you who you are, you already know. You've already done the work of knowing, of questioning, of refining. Your identity is not stitched together by attention or association. It is forged in solitude and affirmed through disciplined action. You don't need others to validate your decisions. You've measured them against your values. You know what matters. You know what's right. You know where you stand. You stop needing permission to move forward. You stop waiting to be chosen, noticed, approved. You simply go, because the mission is clear and the commitment is internal. You stop fearing rejection because your path is not dependent on being embraced. You stop fearing loss because your center is not housed in people or possessions. It's rooted in principle. Nothing essential can be taken from you when what's essential is already inside you. That is freedom. That is strength. That is the silent, sovereign power of the one who walks alone, not because they have to, but because they can. In daily practice, this looks like learning to regulate your emotions without venting them online, not because you're suppressing your feelings, but because you've learned the discipline of inner processing. It means sitting with your discomfort long enough to understand it, rather than rushing to offload it for sympathy or attention. It looks like holding yourself accountable without waiting to be called out, not out of fear, but out of honor. You do what's right because your standards are self-imposed, not socially enforced. It's being your own coach, your own critic, your own caretaker. It looks like building systems and routines that keep you aligned, even when no one is watching or rewarding your consistency. It's waking up early not for show, but because your mission demands it. It's sticking to your commitments, even when the motivation has vanished. It's building a structure that keeps your principles in place when emotions try to knock them down. You don't wait to feel inspired. You operate from values. You build habits that make your strength automatic. This is the mark of a strong soul. When you walk alone and don't flinch, not because you're fearless, but because your fears no longer dictate your actions. You know exactly who you are, and more importantly, you know who you're becoming. You walk forward not with the noise of approval, but with the quiet certainty of purpose. Chapter 6. The Lonely Discipline. A different kind of companionship. Discipline becomes your closest companion when you walk alone. It doesn't flatter, it doesn't coddle, It doesn't offer comfort in the traditional sense, but it shows up when no one else does. It greets you before the sun rises. It stays with you when distractions call your name. The Stoics knew that discipline wasn't about punishment. It was about liberation, the freedom to act according to principle rather than preference. When you are disciplined, you don't have to wait for motivation. You don't need inspiration to move. You don't need someone else to remind you what matters. You've built the reminder into your routine. Your life becomes your statement. Marcus Aurelius warned himself not to waste time in doubt or drift. He reminded himself daily that the responsibility to live well rests with no one else. The Emperor of Rome, surrounded by wealth, duty, and noise, still turned inward every morning and evening to hold himself accountable. That's discipline, the act of rising without being called, doing what's right without being watched, returning to the work without being asked, continuing to push when there is no promise of reward. It's not a performance for the world, it's a pact with the self. The disciplined mind walks its own path and stays on it, not because it's easy, but because it's right. That kind of integrity doesn't bloom in crowds. It grows in the quiet soil of repetition and resolve. It's the result of thousands of small decisions made when no one's looking. This is a lonely kind of strength. There's no crowd in your kitchen when you choose healthy food over impulse. No audience in your study when you read instead of scroll. No applause when you say no to distractions, temptations, and shortcuts. But that's exactly where your integrity sharpens, in the unseen choices. The fork in the road between progress and comfort is never glamorous. It's silent, it's mundane, but it's defining. When the world is silent, you hear the voice of who you're becoming. That voice is not always gentle, but it is always true. It challenges you. It calls you out. It reminds you of the standard you chose, even when it hurts. And over time, that voice becomes your guide. Not a tyrant, but a torch. Not a critic, but a compass. Build routines that do not rely on emotion. Your emotions are guests. Your habits are anchors. Build discipline into your bones. Make excellence less about intensity and more about consistency. Create environments that support virtue over vice, clarity over chaos. Eliminate temptation by shaping your surroundings. Let your habits do the heavy lifting when your feelings try to pull you off course. Structure your life so that you don't have to negotiate with yourself every day. Remove friction from your good decisions and add friction to your bad ones. Make excellence the default. Make virtue automatic. And when no one sees you grinding, let that be the reward. Let the obscurity refine you. Let the struggle purify you. Let your silence sharpen you. For the Stoic, solitude without discipline is isolation. But solitude with discipline, that's transformation. That's where the invisible work creates visible strength. That's the fire in which your future self is forged, not in applause, but in accountability, not in comfort, but in consistency. Chapter 7. Detach to master, losing to gain. To walk alone is to master the art of detachment, not from love, not from life, but from outcomes and ego. The Stoics knew that freedom begins the moment we no longer need anything to happen a certain way. That doesn't mean you stop caring. It means you stop clinging. It means you commit fully while needing nothing. You work with intensity, not attachment. You show up with passion, not possession. You give your best effort not because of the reward, but because it is who you are. And when you detach from how the world responds, you begin to build something indestructible within. Detachment is power. It's the unshakable calm that comes when you place your identity in virtue, not results. When Epictetus said, "You are not disturbed by things, but by your opinion about them," he reminded us that suffering is often born in expectation. The moment you expect life to go your way, You introduce anxiety. When you detach, you're not passive, you're prepared. You're no longer destabilized by change because you've already let go of control. You no longer seek to force the river, you learn to flow with it, without losing direction. This kind of detachment doesn't make you cold, it makes you clear. It sharpens your values. You can love without losing yourself. You can pursue without becoming possessed. You can endure loss without being broken. Because your peace is not in the outcome, it's in the integrity of your action. Detachment allows you to feel deeply without being ruled by those feelings. To the Stoic, detachment is not a lack of feeling. It's the refusal to let those feelings dictate your values. You don't deny emotion, you transcend it. You don't shut down your heart, you educate it with reason. In daily life, detachment might look like letting go of needing credit for your efforts. It's doing the right thing without announcing it. It's walking away from arguments where being right costs you your peace. It's choosing not to chase what doesn't align with your mission, even if it looks good on paper. It's resisting the urge to prove, to boast, to win shallow victories. It's reframing what it means to succeed, not by gaining more, but by needing less. You trade approval for alignment. You trade applause for truth. You trade recognition for inner recognition, the kind that needs no witnesses. The less you need, the freer you become. And in that freedom, mastery emerges. You no longer need to control the external world because you've mastered the internal one. Your sense of self is no longer rented from the reactions of others. It is owned by the strength of your principles. You walk into situations not needing, but offering. Not grabbing, but giving. You operate from fullness, not from lack. You speak from truth, not from fear. And that posture, rooted, disciplined, detached, is what makes you untouchable. Because when the world can't tempt you with praise or crush you with rejection, you are finally free to live. Chapter 8. The Silent Victory. Unseen, unbroken. The world celebrates noise, but the Stoic honors silence. True victory doesn't need a stage. It doesn't come with fireworks or fanfare. It arrives quietly, often unnoticed, hidden in the folds of ordinary days. The Stoic sees through the illusion of performance. They understand that the greatest triumphs are not shouted, they are lived. They are the moments when you choose the higher road without witnesses, when you forgive without being asked, when you persist without being praised. Seneca wrote, "Sometimes even to live is an act of courage." He wasn't speaking of survival, he meant living well, living nobly, living virtuously when everything around you tempts you to settle for less. The silent victories are those no one will ever know about. The choices you made not to lie, not to indulge, not to retaliate. The decisions made in passing moments that would never earn applause, but silently mark your transformation. These wins do not decorate your resume, but they fortify your soul. They are the quiet bricks that build an indestructible character. They are the battle scars hidden from the world, but honored by the inner self. These victories happen in the privacy of your thoughts, in the pause between impulse and response, in the difficult choice no one else would notice. The path to becoming unbreakable is not lined with trophies. It's built with restraint. It is built with the sacred strength to hold back when it would be easier to explode. When you feel the emotion swell but respond with reason, you win something more than the moment. You win dominion over yourself. When you want to quit but keep showing up, you prove that endurance is not luck, but loyalty to your mission. When your old self wants to rise, but you answer with discipline, you confirm that evolution is not found in inspiration, but in resistance. These are the moments of mastery. These are the battles that build a man. Not the ones fought in public, but the ones survived in silence. You win quietly. You rise silently. And yet, what you become resounds louder than words. It changes how you move, how you speak, how you lead, and how you love. In daily life, silent victories might look like walking away from an argument you could easily win, not out of weakness, but out of wisdom. It might look like declining praise that feeds your ego and choosing humility instead. It might mean letting go of the need to prove yourself, and instead, proving your principles. It's smiling through difficulty, staying calm through chaos, and staying consistent when no one is keeping score. These choices will rarely be understood, but they will always make you stronger. Each one is a notch in your internal armor. You build an internal legacy, one only you and your conscience will ever see. But that is more than enough, because your soul remembers. Let the world look for heroes in headlines. Let them chase moments that glitter. Let them measure success by applause and celebration. The Stoic trains for the invisible. They invest in the hidden realms of strength, character, restraint, purpose. They find power in the private. They hold fast in the quiet. They don't broadcast their efforts or campaign for admiration because they understand that virtue is its own reward. Because they know what the world doesn't see is often what defines who you really are. Not the spotlight, but the shadows you mastered before ever stepping into the light. The hours spent in silence, the sacrifices made in secret, the emotions wrestled with in solitude. These are the things that forge true greatness. Don't tell everyone what you are doing or what you are planning. Not because you're hiding, but because you're protecting. There is a sacredness in silence, a kind of invisible armor that shields your momentum from interference. Energy leaks where attention flows, and not everyone who watches you wants you to win. Some want to compete, some want to copy, some want to destroy. Others pretend to support you while secretly hoping for your failure. And when your vision is exposed too soon, it becomes vulnerable to misinterpretation, ridicule, and sabotage. Not all attacks are loud. Some come in the form of doubt planted by those who claim to care. Don't show off your success in a social media story or a soundbite, because the truth is, no one cares as much as you think they do. And in fact, many will resent you for it. They will smile to your face and root against you in silence. They will pretend to clap, but hope for your fall. Your wins may invite celebration, but they also attract envy. It's not personal, it's human nature. And for that reason, it's wise to keep your garden behind a wall until the roots are deep and the fruit unshakable. Protect your peace, protect your strength and your success. And the best way to do that is to keep everything private. Let your progress be your prayer. Guard your momentum like a sacred fire, because the more people see it, the more they will try to blow it out. Privacy is power. What is hidden is harder to hit. What is quiet is harder to corrupt. What is kept sacred is harder to scatter. Let the results speak louder than announcements. Let your excellence be understated but undeniable. Let the growth and success speak for itself, not in noise, but in presence, not in stories, but in standards. Let your integrity echo louder than your marketing. That is how the Stoic moves, with quiet fire, invisible strength, and unshakable discipline. Their steps are light, but their impact is heavy. Their voice may be soft, but their example shouts truth. And in a world obsessed with appearances, nothing is more rebellious or more powerful than progress kept private. Chapter 9. Build the Inner Citadel. To walk alone is to build a fortress within, a stronghold that no storm can shake. Marcus Aurelius called this the Inner Citadel, and to the Stoic, it is the most sacred architecture one can construct. The outer world is unpredictable. People leave, opportunities fade, fortunes rise and fall, but the inner citadel remains if you build it right. It's where your peace lives. It's where your values are guarded. It's where your identity no longer depends on circumstance. The inner citadel is not built in a day. It's built every time you choose discipline over distraction, Every time you pick virtue over convenience, every time you respond with calm instead of chaos. The stones are laid in morning routines, evening reflections, and difficult moments endured with grace. You become the architect of your strength, and each choice is a brick. When the world is loud, the citadel is silent. When others panic, you return to your foundations. The inner citadel allows you to face betrayal without bitterness, loss without despair, and success without arrogance. It makes you self-contained, self-directed, and self-reliant. Not because you reject the world, but because you refuse to be controlled by it. Building your citadel is not about isolation, it's about insulation, protecting what is essential from what is external. In practical terms, this might look like a daily Stoic reading, a journal where you process thoughts with honesty, or a walk where you sort your emotions before speaking them. It might be breathwork, meditation, or simply the ritual of self-respect. In a world obsessed with image, the inner citadel is invisible, but it is real. It is your safe haven in the storm, your compass when the map burns, and when everything around you falls apart, you will not. Because you have something unshakable, not built by the world, and not breakable by it either. Chapter 10. Walk alone, but never against yourself. The final lesson is the most important. Walking alone must not mean turning against yourself. The path of solitude is not a punishment, it's a proving ground. But even the Stoic, who walks the long road without applause, must learn not to confuse discipline with self-denial, nor strength with self-hate. There is no honor in being your own enemy. There is only harm. To walk alone powerfully, you must walk with yourself, not against yourself. The Stoics did not ask for perfection, they asked for progress. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself constantly that he would fall short, that he would feel anger, that he would make mistakes. And yet, he returned to the path every day, with patience, with humility, with courage. Because walking alone is not about never failing, it's about never abandoning yourself when you do. To walk alone is to know your worth so deeply that you no longer bargain with your values. It is to accept your flaws, but not excuse them. It is to correct yourself firmly, but kindly. It is to hold the line without crushing the spirit. The Stoic does not shame themselves into growth. They guide themselves with reason and compassion. They demand high standards, but not out of fear, out of love for the strength they are becoming. In your own life, this means showing yourself the same respect you offer to others. You wouldn't mock a friend for stumbling, so don't tear yourself down when you falter. You wouldn't abandon someone you believe in, so don't abandon yourself in your weakest hour. It means resting when you need recovery, not as an escape, but as a strategy. Because a rested mind makes sharper decisions and a steady soul endures longer storms. Rest is not laziness, it is preservation. It is a declaration that your energy is sacred and must be managed with wisdom, not burned for vanity. It means speaking to yourself, not with cruelty, but with clarity. To be honest without being harsh. To be firm without being fatal. When you fall short, it means reflecting without ruminating, correcting without condemning. You don't rise by breaking yourself. You rise by believing in yourself more than your lowest moment. The Stoic knows that inner dialogue becomes outer action. If your words to yourself are filled with venom, your spirit will wilt. But if they are filled with direction, even in discipline, your character will bloom. So walk alone, but walk with honor. Rise alone, but rise with purpose. Win alone, but win with peace. Let your solitude not become a prison of pressure, but a temple of preparation. Let your silence be filled with intention. You do not need to be seen. You do not need to be followed. You do not need to be understood. You only need to be aligned with truth, with virtue, with the best within you. When the world grows loud, the path gets dark. or your energy runs thin, return to this. The one who walks alone does not walk empty. They walk full of discipline, full of clarity, full of strength. And they are never truly alone, because they walk in harmony with the voice inside that says, "Keep going." That is the Stoic way. Quiet, resolute, and it is enough.